This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
Welcome to this very special extended edition of the Escape Hour. We're starting about a half hour early today, and on the tools we've
Surprise.
Got Mark Adams. Yeah, and also we've got Fiona Brooke in the studio with us today, and we've got a lot to talk about. We've got some travel news to get through and some...
Where's Russ?
Russ has abandoned us, and he's taken the day off, oh. So that's all right.
So where in the world is Russ? We hope he phones us in so he can
listen
to
his will.
Dulcet tones.
He is in Singapore.
He won't phone in from Singapore.
Yeah, Russell.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think... okay. I thought it was just having the day off for the long weekend.
Or maybe he is going to Singapore, but Singapore was in the conversation
right.
somewhere.
Okay, that's good. Well, have a safe flight to Singapore. But yeah, we're going to be talking about some travel news, and Tasmania is the main topic, the destination. Travel and food, and we've got
all
David Hall coming
things.
In to talk to us about his experiences in Tasmania and Pure South Dining.
Yes,
and their connections to Tasmania. So.
That's down on South Wharf.
South Bank, yep.
South Bank down there.
We're correcting each other today, aren't we?
It's a beautiful restaurant. I've been there before, yeah.
I haven't been yet because I don't get out very much. But, yeah.
Well, it is reviewed very highly. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. And so we'll talk more about that later. But I guess I've got a question for you both.
Fire away.
Yeah, fire away, Ted.
When you're on a flight,
yes.
Do you recline or do you not recline?
It depends.
Okay.
What Sorry to sound like a lawyer, but it does depend. If I'm in economy, I tend not to. If I turn left when I get in, I do what the damn hell I want, but there's no one behind me to disturb. Mm. And that's the difference maker to me.
Even in long haul?
Even long haul, yeah, I'm fine.
Really?
Yeah.
How about you, Fiona?
I'm not so fine. I do recline. I don't necessarily recline all the way because that's just making it impossible for the person behind you. But I do
But it is enabling deep
somewhat.
Vein thrombosis.
Enabling deep vein. But you just got to get those socks on.
Sorry, I interrupted you, Fiona. Where you go? You do, you're a recliner.
Yeah, I do. I actually had to not recline on my way back from my trip to Bali recently. And even though it's a short flight, it was a red eye. And having to sit up, basically, I got about 1 hour's sleep.
Right.
So I was pretty shattered when I came in the next day. And I was like, why do I do this to myself?
Yeah,
I get territorial when I fly.
What do you do, Ted?
Oh, look, I won't. If it's not nighttime and time to sleep, I won't recline. I'll just, you know, suffer in silence. And especially at mealtimes, if I was reclined, I will obviously lift up and I won't wait for the person behind me to ask. I think it's rude. But I will recline if I need to sleep because I've got long legs and you know, there's not a lot of room to start with. And I just think it's one of those things of having a bit of etiquette. But I will always check first if the person behind me has their laptop out or something like that because I'm not just going to be rude and do that. But there's a bit of conjecture around that. And there's a bit of talk about the fact that, you know, is it a situation that it's a design responsibility of the airlines and they're passing that on to being an etiquette dilemma for a passenger as opposed to them actually dealing with the fact that they're cramming in more seats, there's less space
well,
to economize.
Well, you get what you pay for.
You do,
and that's the thing. People want to fly on the low-cost airlines, get a low-cost experience.
Absolutely.
So you're a battery chicken. So you get what you pay for. If you want to pay more and you want the space, it costs you dearly.
Yeah.
And not everybody's in that position. I understand that. And not everybody prioritizes their money in that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm in a situation like mine where I don't have kids to worry about and extra people and I'm only buying one ticket. Maybe I can afford to do some things if I choose.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But if I choose to fly a cheap airline,
you get what you pay for, absolutely.
You get what you pay for. And I tend not to fly them. Yep. I would rather spend a little bit of extra money, and that's a luxury that a lot of people don't have the opportunity to do that, and they travel for different reasons, whatever. But I will probably spend a bit more money on the flight than a lot of other people just to just get me there. I think it's a big part of the experience. So that's speaking from a position of relative privilege, I guess. So it's a bit of a blinkered opinion. But if you are flying a budget airline, you don't get much.
No, you don't. But I have to say, like, I have flown.
Get savings.
You do.
And you get to spend it at the other end.
So it depends on your budget. So it's
But I have been on flights, you know, to most recently Bali a year or so ago, and it was, you know, a budget airlines, which I won't mention, but I was actually impressed with the leg room on that flight. It was very comfortable, I have to say. And, you know, I don't mind if it's a 5-hour flight. I don't need to necessarily recline. Do you know what I mean? I will recline when it's long haul. Like my back to New York is 21 hours, you know, and I need it's a necessity, you know. And I'm not always in business class. It is a long flight.
Yeah. Well, I think that what we should consider doing is looking at the premium economy offerings for various different airlines, because some premium economy packages are worth it and others are not.
Yes. So which one's worth it, do you find, Fiona?
Well, I guess it really comes down to what do you need at that particular moment. Yeah. I mean, I've upgraded to a premium economy and being like, well, that was kind of a waste of time. All I got was a free feed and a free movie. But you do have
there wasn't much room.
It does give you a little bit more room. And, you know, but for the price in this particular instance, I didn't think it was worth the extra
$200.
And the seats aren't always much better, really. I mean, they might be a little bit wider and a little bit longer, but, you know, it's not always a great seat, if you know what I mean, as well. And
I've done it a few times and found it. I was lucky that I was in a position where I was traveling a lot for work, and then I got to keep the points. So then I only had to pay for economy when I was traveling personally, and I could upgrade. And it was a very good upgrading program. I was living in Dubai at the time, and Emirates were very active with that, especially if you're a gold member. So it was fantastic to always be able to have that space and that care and attention and everything that you want. But when I've not been in such a position, I've paid for premium economy before, and I've done it on some of the big national European airlines. And it's been fantastic.
I just don't think it's...
And it was worth the money for those. So I was quite surprised that you said that it wasn't worth the money.
I think that if you're doing it in a low-cost carrier in Australia, it's not really worth the
money. Okay, I see. Right. It's
still a low-cost carrier.
Same poop, different shoe.
Yes. Different, right. Just a little bit further up the front of the plane.
Exactly. Yeah. Just a few more moments closer to death.
Yeah.
But it is actually, you know, largely about priorities. I know that my parents, when they fly, they decide to fly business, and when they're getting on the cruise boat, they buy the lower berth,
because
they're like, hey, we're just going to sleep in there. They'd rather have a better experience, and they get picked up from wherever and driven. And
it's funny, when I was back in my engineering risk management days, it was always, you know, business class travel, and it was a while ago now, but and if you couldn't get into business class because it was booked out, you were put into first class. And it was really nice. And, you know, after 10 years of that, when I finished up that career and shifted, it was sort of like, you know, I had a lot of frequent flyer points to use. So that level of service continued for a little while.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you have to slum it out in economy class, you're like, well, one does get accustomed to, you know, that sort of treatment.
Very easily.
Yeah.
But I'm very much so of the, I practice yoga and I meditate, and I spend a lot of time with noise cancelling headphones, with my eyes shut, just breathing, taking my way out of it. And I use that as an opportunity to meditate.
Well,
that doesn't work on a long haul flight, because you can't meditate for 21 hours. I mean, there's not a lot of things you can do for 21 hours.
No.
Those noise cancelling headphones, I just bought a pair for myself this last trip back to New York.
Yeah.
And kicking myself for not buying them sooner.
Amazing.
In the break, you'll have to tell me what brand you bought, because I'm looking for a pair as well.
There's lots of brands now in the technology. Yep. You don't have to buy the big, the usual ones, $800-$900 ones. Mm. There are some very affordable, cheaper ones that do the job.
Yeah, and still quite good brand. Like brand. I paid about $400, I think, for mine.
Still a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, but it's good quality investment that you're getting, and you get that no noise at all, and you're just in your own world, and it's incredible.
That sounds extraordinary. I need a pair.
Yeah, the drone of the plane is one thing, but it's other people's noises.
That's right.
And they're small children's
and
noises.
And small people noises. Yeah. Because, I mean, I don't mind. I'm the kind of person that if someone's struggling with a kid in an airport, I'll go up and ask them if they want a hand with a kid. I lie and tell them I'm a father, but it was like, do I want to give you a hand? Do I want to hold something? Do I want to... Because the kid doesn't want to be there.
No.
And it's very stressful on kids, so you've got to be a bit more tolerant, but it doesn't mean you want to hear it.
No, no. And that's your choice of seat that you choose too. True. You know, you can choose to be near a bulkhead where usually the, you know, the bassinets are and stuff like that, so you kind of learn... You know,
and their little ears don't cope with the pressure changes, so they don't want to be there. They don't want to be there.
And we don't want them there either, but you know, it happens.
Someone made a choice. Lots of choices.
Exactly. All those choices. So,
yep.
But yeah, and then also too, you know, getting back to, we were talking last week about the terrorism thing happening in, you know, in Manchester, then London, then there was something in Brighton. Paris, and now apparently Brighton. And I question... You know, the news reports that I saw that, you know, mentioned terrorist attack in Brighton. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, what was the target? I mean, really?
Yeah, you know, like, doesn't really make that much sense to brand it as a terrorist act immediately because, you know, it doesn't have a lot of the hallmarks of what a terrorist attack is often.
It's straight out of the playbook. Everything he did is straight out of the playbook. It's where it's unexpected, where people are most comfortable, not necessarily the most high profile. It's to shake people down in the cheapest, easiest way. There's a book, a magazine published by ISIS, which stepped out exactly what he did, that was published in March.
But surely he could have chosen a much more high profile target.
No, that's the thing. It's don't make it high profile anymore. Yeah, but unsettle people wherever they are. And that's the thing. And take people that you're happy to slaughter.
But my
prostitute.
But you know what though? My question is, whose job is it to brand it a terrorist act versus not being one? You know, from what I saw, it was the media that was saying that it wasn't anything coming from the Australian government. When it happened in London recently, sadly, you know, there was a statement put up by the government that said, yes, this has been a terrorist attack. It wasn't a media outlet putting their stamp onto that and saying...
Well, he had phoned Channel 7 and told them what he was doing. So that's where it came from. He had told them he was doing it. I mean, he was obviously not a mentally healthy person.
Oh, no,
he claimed it
not.
Was for both Al-Qaeda and for ISIS.
Right.
And they're two opposing factions that have a similar methodology.
Yeah,
but Al-Qaeda is fighting ISIS in Iraq and Syria. So it's not necessarily...
No, it doesn't
make sense, but none of them. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, well, these things never do. But it's just one of those things that you kind of think, well, you know, let's make sure it is what it is before we actually brand it as such, because it creates a lot of, you know, discomfort in the community and
fear,
you know,
and anxiety.
Exactly, and you know, we don't want that here. You know, that's the thing,
and so
let's not say it is something until we know exactly for sure what it is, you know.
Well, I guess that's the whole concern also. It's about the people that might copy.
Yes.
The opportunity for copycats, the opportunity to say, well, oh, that seemed really easy. I can go and perpetrate that as well, that sort of thing
That's right.
And, I mean, it does, of course, set a very bad tone in certainly in the suburb and in that area, and it just doesn't seem like it's even something that would be happening in that neighborhood, and it just seems so random.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a whole interesting case. I'm still being investigated too, so I think that's the important thing. There's a lot of speculation and, you know, that happens as a result of these things. And again, sometimes these things happen and you don't necessarily get any follow-up information. It just goes away for some reason, which is a bit unusual. But then, you know, getting back to, like, for example, Manchester, and, you know, they had the big benefit concert, which I thought was incredible. I thought it was really amazing, and the amount of money they were able to raise for it. But then you get the other side of that too. You know, I saw a lot of comments on social media saying,
"Oh God,
you know,
the sewer of humanity."
I know.
Social media.
Sewers
are connected by conduits. It's
exactly.
Very similar to how the internet works. And when people are faceless, when people are hidden behind a keyboard, their toxic little personalities, all those things they know they can't say in public because they're putrid.
Or they would never
say in public. Air them so freely.
Yeah, but there were a few comments where I thought, oh, well, you know, as far as the fact that, you know, there was attacks in Afghanistan, there was an attack, you know, in Manila that
huge
didn't
attack
even
in Manila.
Get mention, really. Mm.
Oh, no,
just mentioned
the
news.
One in the Philippines did. There was a lot on the news. They didn't get a
No, there was no concert, but there was a bit different context, obviously. But, you know, you see these other places that are in the third world that don't get the attention after something horrible, and it happens all the time there. Mm. You know, it's not an isolated incident.
No. Terrorist attack, particularly ISIS and Al-Qaeda, attack more Muslims and people in water zones than they do anywhere else.
Which is insane as well. But it just makes you wonder sometimes, you know, why isn't there more attention, you know,
media
in
coverage
those
is
areas.
Different.
So
it is, where you've definitely. Got a lot more cameras and a lot more availability to produce footage, like in Western countries where there's just higher density.
Well, there's always people there too.
There's always people there too. So, but that, where that attack took place, I stayed at, I was at a friend's wedding in the Philippines a number of years ago, and I stayed at that
hotel.
At the
casino,
And the amount of security is incredible. And because the Philippines is a country with its own challenges. So from going to the hotel to going to, we saw the Sound of Music in their auditorium there. It was fantastic because the best singers in the world are in the Philippines.
It's phenomenally
talented people. The most beautiful singers and the best handwriting in the world comes out of the Philippines. The gorgeous copper plate. Everybody does it. It's amazing. Everyone sings and everyone's got gorgeous handwriting. It's all those nuns that are teachers. Yeah.
These two things I did not know.
Yeah, no, Philippines, amazing country. Go, you have to go. It's a great country. But
we'll have to make a show on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If anyone's been to the Philippines, let us know your experiences. The people are just gorgeous. The country is stunning. It is it's a great place to go. But in that particular hotel, the All Worlds Resort, there's a casino. It's kind of like Crown here in a way. Yep. And it's just across from Ninoy Aquino Airport.
Yep.
So it's right there. Local. And it's a beautiful landscape. Grounds, and it's a self-contained, lots of restaurants, and it's amazing. There's a Kenny Rogers roaster there. Have you ever been to
a
Kenny Rogers has a chain of restaurants.
Really?
No. Oh, my
That's
God.
One for you to review. Yeah. Kenny Rogers Barbecue. Roaster. I took a lot of photos and pointed at it and laughed and carried on because it just seems so incongruous that Kenny Rogers would have a roasting franchise. Anyway, but the security between each one of those parts of the property is really intense.
Right. Mm.
They pad you down.
Yep.
They have metal detectors. Mm-hmm. So for someone to be able to get a weapon into the gaming floor, for all that, all those people to have it, they had to know what they were doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what really shook me about this, because I spent a week in that complex and it frustrated the hell out of me, because every time if I went from my hotel room down to the little shop to buy some water or something, I would consider ordering room service and paying five times as much purely to avoid the security hassles.
Right.
Wow.
Armed guards. It was really hard to get around. So from the shopping center to the little shop to the casino floor, blah, 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 it was tough to get around. So to see that amount of damage says to me that they were organized and knew what they were doing. They'd cased the joint. And it that was the shocking thing about it.
Or an inside job as well.
Who knows?
That certainly makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, how else would you be able to get that through, even if you had spent all that time casing a place? I mean, of course, people are very, very ingenious, and they will do whatever they can, and they get away with an enormous amount even when there's so much security. So it is shocking.
Philippines is one of those countries that every shopping centre has metal detectors and security at every shopping centre access.
Yeah. But I guess it's also another...
Amazing.
It's a situation too that no matter where you are, if you see something strange, report it. If you hear something that makes you feel uncomfortable or you think it's just out of line, just report it.
But keep travelling. Don't stop travelling.
Exactly. Keep going. Don't stop going.
See the world. Learn more about the world.
Absolutely. Definitely.
We all agree on that component. Yeah.
So where are you going to travel to next, Fiona?
I'm off to Japan in September.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It'll be my third trip. Love Japan.
Yeah, it's good.
Once you go, you just get addicted to it. Yeah. You just keep wanting to
agreed.
Go back.
So what's your favourite thing, the first thing you do when you get into Japan?
Catch a train.
From the airport.
The first thing I like to do is probably go out and eat. Because I just love Japanese food and drink some beautiful sake.
Yeah.
It's just so exciting, and wander the streets and eat a beautiful egg sandwich. Incredibly delicious egg sandwiches. Oh, my God.
Oh, hold on. Talk to me more about a beautiful Japanese egg sandwich. I have not put that in my mind before.
Well, the Japanese do eggs so beautifully. They do these beautiful thin omelets that they fold that have no crispy edges, and they fold them up on each other so it becomes like an egg wedge. It's like a wedge of an omelette.
Like in sushi, the kind of... similar?
Yes,
it's a little
similar.
Bit sweet, isn't it?
It's a little bit sweeter. It's puffy and light. And then they put it between two incredibly delicious pieces of beautiful white fluffy bread, little thin slices, and a thin layer of mustard. And you're just in egg sandwich heaven. It's incredible.
I'm celebrating. It sounds amazing.
You've not been to Japan?
I have. I haven't had Japanese egg sandwiches, right. And I'm intrigued.
Yeah, you go to some of the little cafes and they sit on the tatami mats and drink a delicious coffee and have an egg sandwich. I know it doesn't sound very Japanese, but it's so good.
Yeah, it's good. It's all good.
How about you, Mark? Where are you up to next?
School. Nothing's going to happen until I finish study, so...
How much longer do you have to...
I'll be finished in 15 months.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to spend a week in Bali or Thailand or somewhere.
That'd be nice.
You
sort
of do need an escape.
Sit on a bench and just do nothing. Yep. Exactly. Just that whole escape thing, to sit somewhere.
And not be bothered by the rest of the world.
Not have a routine, not have something to do, not have something to read.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Unless I want to.
Yeah, that's right. Too much reading as it is, I'm sure.
Exactly. What about you?
I'm probably going to go to Brisbane for a long weekend coming up, and then in the autumn go back to New York to visit my family.
Yeah, nice.
Which would be good. Yeah. So it's a good time of year to go.
Brisbane's divine.
I love Brisbane.
Yeah. I love walking along the, you know,
South Bank
area, and it's usually so steamy, and then you've got all the galleries, and Goma, of course, is incredible.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And they're starting to get a good food scene up there as well. You know, restaurants along the water there. It's it's quite a happening place.
Yep, I've eaten at a couple of delicious places up there in Fortitude Valley.
Yes, yep.
Some beautiful markets on the water. It's stunning.
Yeah, it's nice. And the sun's usually always shining, you know.
Or it's raining.
Yeah, one of my close friends lives in Brisbane and, you know, she'll ring up, you know, oh, it's cold up here, you know. I'm like, oh, please. Really? What is it, 28 degrees? The sun's out? Yeah, okay. It's 9 degrees in Melbourne, that kind of thing. So.
And you're a former New Yorker.
Yes. Yeah.
You're a native New Yorker.
Northern New Jersey. I was born and raised, but I worked in New York.
Tri-state area.
New York,
New Jersey, Connecticut.
One.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Garden State. So, but it gets cold.
It gets bitterly cold.
Snow.
Absolutely. My first trip back to New York in the winter was this past Christmas, the first time since I moved to Australia in 22 years. So... But I loved it. It was really nice to get that bitter, bitter Arctic cold. I quite enjoyed that, knowing that I was coming back to summer. But but it was nice to be rugged up. There's something special at Christmas time to be cold, at least from my point of view.
And was it? Did you get snow when you were there that time?
Yeah, it snowed a fair bit. And it was nice to be in Times Square with
gorgeous
blizzard conditions. And it was just
snow flurries.
Yeah, it was nice. It was really nice.
Yep. And then you've got all the snow on the side of the street and then the salt on your boots.
And it gets slushy and messy.
And then you start slipping around.
You do, yeah.
Because it sounds so very romantic.
I lived in New York for quite a long time.
Oh, did you? Which part of the city? Which borough?
I lived in the East Village.
Manhattan.
Yep. Great spot.
For a very long time. And then I lived in Spanish Harlem.
Oh, wow. That's a long way. That's a good...
Yeah, well, we were right on the border of 97th. Madison.
So that's in Columbia, right?
Yeah.
Not quite as far up. That's further up.
Right.
And that was fantastic. So it was right on the border of the Upper East Side and El Barrio.
Okay. Yeah.
Actually, right near the park there. That was fantastic.
It's a great spot.
Completely. I think the neighborhood's changed so much now.
Definitely.
Since
what years
I lived
were those?
There. I lived in New York from 1990 to 1999, almost close to 2000. Right. I moved back just after 2000, actually.
Glad you're out of it before 9/11.
6 months before 9/11. Yeah, absolutely. So it was a fantastic time. I spent a lot of time in the cold, and you know, I did like it for sure. It was brutal.
Oh yeah,
and
your
tears
would freeze.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's true.
And the thing I loved about it was that it would be too cold to snow.
Yes.
Oh, can you imagine? Yep. Too cold to snow.
So what does it do?
Well, no, it's just
too cold.
See, because in New York it has these brilliant blue skies.
Yes.
And when it's too cold and there's no cloud cover, it won't snow.
Right, okay.
It has to actually, in New York, warm up to snow.
Yeah.
That's pretty freaky.
And it gets that cold when it's like that, where you get a cup of boiling water. If you throw it into the air, by the time it hits the ground, it's pretty much... And vaporized as well. It's that cold. It's
I never
crazy.
Did that experiment.
Next
Let's
time.
Go to New York and
do it.
I don't need much of a motive to go to New York. York.
No, but, not at all.
It's a fantastic
yeah,
city.
But a lot of people don't realize that it gets that colder, and it gets terribly hot in the summertime. Hot
yeah,
and humid
I've been
as well.
In summer and you know? In winter.
Melting. Yeah. Yeah. And like, when you go down into the subways, it's like standing in a hairdryer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Putrid, stinking hairdryer.
Yeah. That's right. I would, in the
Even
summertime.
Even the rats leave.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, yeah.
The pizza-stealing rat sleeve.
Exactly.
I would not even put any makeup on in the summertime until I got to work. Because it would just slip off your face.
It's just the
That's
humidity.
How hot it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's melting.
Not fun. Yep.
You're on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.